588 of the MTG Goldfish Podcast. I'm Seth, probably better known as Saffron Olive, and we have the full crew here this week, kicking things off with the owner of MTG Goldfish, Richard. How are you this fine Monday, Richard?
Good morning, Seth. Felt like it's been forever since I've been on the podcast.
So, I know. Where have you been,
good to
Richard?
Be back.
Good to good be to back. Have you back. Good to have you back. You picked a good week to come back.
Raising Krim's sister.
Yes, Krim.
Help. Help with your family duties. What are you doing?
I can't. I'm reading comics, dude. Sorry, Dad.
And of course, we got Krim. Good morning, Krim. How's it going today?
Pretty good. I got my psychic frog from my store champs. I didn't win my abhorrent Oculus, so I'm sad. So I gotta go try to get one because I need that eyeball.
Did you see, Krim? So we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but I saw this modern deck. It was a psychic frog deck with Pensive Professor from Secrets of Strixhaven,
yeah,
which is when it gets a counter, you draw a card, and they
right.
were soul cauldroning psychic frog onto the Pensive Professor.
Oh my god.
And then you can just draw your entire deck.
Yeah.
And I tried to find a way to do it in standard, but the pieces don't exist. We don't have a card that does what Psychic Frog does in standard, but it is a pretty cool idea. So maybe someone will want your Psychic Frog.
I mean, that's if I would be willing to let it go. It's too cute. Have you seen it? Also, I just want to quickly say that I like stores when they do their store champs, the promos don't have their store's name on there. I wish these promos would just say
they
like winner.
They stamp the name.
Store champs. Yeah,
wait, if you're like a premier store.
Krim,
you are a big proponent of the date time stamp.
Yeah.
To immortalize when you own some noobs, but you don't want the store logo there to remember
the
time.
I don't want the store
time.
Logo. No, no, no. Wow. I would rather it
support
say winner.
Support your LGS, Krim. What are you doing?
I do support my... I am there playing
wait.
At my LGS.
My question is why, though, Krim? Is it because it makes it harder to collect? Because if you want to put together
yes.
a collection, you don't want it
yes.
from some random store you've never been to? Is that kind of the issue?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, I would support the one that I got from, like, let's say my local store. But the one thing I don't like one is, like, some random store I've never been to, I've never heard of, right? So, like, I could understand, like, I wish it just said winner. Or the, well, date. That I won it on. You know what I'm just saying?
Oh, Krim, you gotta travel cross country and get a winner card from every state and
yeah.
then collect
and then, yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe that's what I need to do.
That'd be a good video, Krim. Let's do Krim wins the store champ in every state. Get on
we'll
that.
We'll check back in 30 years, yeah. see if he's done it.
Yeah. Or Krim drives to every state and hands out free wins, you know? Like, let's see what happens.
Oh, anyway, today we got a big topic, which is we got a ban list update today. And honestly, I wasn't expecting much, and we didn't get much in every format, but there were actually a lot of changes today. So we're going to start with ban list update stuff. That is our biggest topic. And then there's some other littler topics. I want to ask you all about intentional draws, because I've been fighting with the internet the last couple of days about intentional draws. There's a couple of Mark Rosewater comments about print to demand and stuff that we might get into, but ban list update is the biggest thing today. Before we get into that, though, a reminder that today's show is brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service fee, send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more, and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results in a fast payment once your order is processed, and you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. Our show is also brought to you by Heavy Play, advanced gaming equipment. The new Artmaster series playmats from Jim Pavlik just released, featuring angels, demons, djinns, dragons, and more. Their unique folding design lets you fit it in a standard laptop bag, and EquipMag lets you attach optional dice boxes or even multiple playmats together. So check out the new Artmaster series playmats from Jim Pavlik at heavyplay.com/mtggoldfish and use the code mtggoldfish at checkout to save 10% off. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show, and let's talk some Magic, and let's start with the big news of the day, which is the ban list update. So as we're recording this just an hour or so ago, Wizards dropped the ban list update. Richard, why don't you tell us what the changes were, and then we'll go format by format through this big list and see if we can figure out what they're up to.
All right, B&R 518, 2026, standard, no changes.
Aha.
No changes. Landfall your way away, guys. Okay, no changes, no problem. But perhaps. the other formats, kind of interesting. Pioneer, Corey Steelcutter is banned. Surprised it was still around, but yes, it is banned. Modern. Get your modern decks ready, Krim.
Mm-hmm.
Flage, banned. Finally, Boros Energy takes a hit again. Lotus Field, banned. What? Violet Outburst, unbanned? Umazawa's Jite, unbanned to sell Ninja Turtle cards? I don't know. Two giant unbannings in Modern, and two very big bannings as well. Legacy, Undercity Informers banned? What? Oops, all spells?
The
I don't know what's going
uncommon?
On.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the one that just like mills your whole deck. Vintage, no changes. Popper, Bonder's Ornament, unbanned. Alchemy, we're still doing Alchemy. Sewer Valence Cam is banned. What? Okay. Historic Timeless Brawl, no changes. Okay, I don't think we expected any of this. There just seemed to be a lot of activity, and the one where people wanted stuff probably, which is Standard, nothing. Standard's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No changes for Standard, which honestly, we talked about it last week, Krim, and I think we both talked about cards that we would like to be banned, but I think if I remember right, we kind of landed on, we thought odds were in favor of them not changing anything. We thought there was a chance that they would, but we thought probably there would be no changes. And honestly, as much as I would like to see Storm Chaser's Talon or Badger Mole, like something to just shake up the like Badger Mole versus Is It meta. If you look at the tournaments from the past weekend, they had the regionals in Cincinnati, I believe, and there was a lot of four color control. Like that is kind of the new hotness in the format. So there is like a third archetype now. So I'm not that upset about no Standard changes. Personally, I don't really like where Standard is at, but I also feel like I can't put my finger on a banning that would fix it. I feel like if you ban Storm Chaser's Talent, there's still going to be a ton of Is It. Like maybe you ban Badger Mole and there's less green decks, but then you're going to have even more Is It. So I think that no changes right now, I'm actually kind of okay with, even though personally I would ban stuff. But I'm curious what you guys think. Are you surprised at all, Krim or Richard, that there were no changes?
Wait, did you say you don't like where Standard is right now? Like, wait, what's wrong?
I feel
like
we've been, so I just feel like we've been living in Badger Mole versus Is It for like 9 months or something. And we've been living with Is It for like more than a year, right? Going back to
We got years
now.
Of this left.
So
Seth,
it's just been
want?
Like a very long time where we kind of have these two meta archetypes that are a huge percentage of what I play against on the ladder or what you see in tournaments. So I would just like to see more change, more churn. And I know from a competitive perspective, people are like, oh, well, like they added some cards to, you know, the landfall deck, or oh, like four color control, like maybe that can compete with these two big archetypes. So there are some like nice things around the edges, but that's my biggest issue, is it just feels kind of stagnant to me, if that makes sense. Like we've stagnated at Is It versus Badger Mole. And when people tune their Badger Mole Cub decks or slightly change their Is It decks, I don't come away from that feeling like, oh, that's so new and exciting. I'm just like, okay, you're still doing Is It stuff or still doing Badger Mole Cub decks. So that's kind of where I'm at. But where are you at, Krim?
I think this is awesome, right? We have a removal pile deck. I love it.
Of course you do.
It's like, I'm not even fighting to lose. I feel like I can actually win. Or like, you know, like there's games where, you know, control just feels like you're fighting not to lose. And that's a bad feeling. Even though, yes, you would assume that's how you play control. This one, this time around, I feel like control, you know, when you're firmly ahead, you're not even behind for all that long. Dude, this is sweet. And don't forget, you're excluding my boy, Excruciator. I love the Excruciator baby boy.
Demir Midrange.
That's a different deck. This is such a fun format because any week, you know, like, I feel like it's just a rotating, like, format, right? Like, the top deck rotates in, and then it rotates out next week because everyone hates on it, right? So, I don't know. I'm having the time of my life, but I still think there should have been bannings. I agreed with you there. I do think that there should have been something to Storm Chaser's Talent. I do not think that Badger Mole Cub should go, only because it's the only thing that keeps creature decks around.
I thought you would like to not have any creature deck scrim, and then you can just play four color control mirrors all day.
Removing. What am I removing?
Oh, you need to actually have a target for your removal. Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's like the old hero and iconic villain, a Batman and Joker situation. You know, they need each other, but they...
What do you think, Richard? You're the tiebreaker here. What do you think about standard and no changes?
I think standard is balanced. But crap. Like, oh my God. Like, I play standard occasionally, and every time I play, I'm like, it's complete BS. You know, erode the card we poo-pooed? I get so salty every single time I lose to that thing. I'm like, tra-la-la, four landfall triggers this turn. Great job, dude. Because I'm like, I can't believe we're getting smacked around by erode as a landfall enabler, right? I've never seen an erode fired off on any creature other than the stupid Earthbent lands. But I don't know. I feel, yes, the tournament results show that we're balanced. Yes, there's a four-color control, whatever, but I feel it's kind of just like BS games all around. It's like, badge will come up, didn't get removal, I'm toast. Right? Got a vault to removal. If I get a vault to five to find removal for this badge will come, right? Like, so I feel it's just like a bunch of BS decks and I'm not really playing any Magic. But that's just
so
like fair mid-rangey
that...
me, right?
What?
Like, the snowball is just wild. It's like getting smacked by a turn one monkey, right? Like, yeah, you kill it, great. You don't kill it, you're like, oh, what kind of stupid game am I playing, right? So I feel standard is, like, full of that. Like, you just get cheesed out one way or the other, and I don't know. I still feel standard is, like, deck mulligan simulator. You choose a deck. Oh, so deck sideboard mulligan, and then you don't play the game, okay? So you choose a deck. You have to mulligan correctly. You have to sideboard correctly. And then once you do that, the games just kind of play out. And I don't know, man. I'm not feeling standard, even though it looks okay. Like, you know, but it's also like the old deck still. But the play patterns are just, it's just too much. It's just too much
too
power.
Too much fun? Is that what you mean?
Did you ever play Madden back in the day? Like the football game? Well, man, there's so many of them.
2000
really matter,
and like,
what was the matter? Are we Mike Vicking it up?
Mike Vick era. But anyway, when I would play Madden, a lot of times I'd do the franchise mode, but who had time to actually play the game? So I would just sim all the games and then just like do the draft and sign the free agents. That's kind of what standard is, right? You build your deck, you build your sideboard, and then the game just kind of auto-plays for you.
That is not true. That is not true at all. Are you kidding
me? That's because Krim plays control decks, whose games actually last long.
Krim, yeah. Krim,
I see.
Imagine if you didn't
magic.
Have 80 spot removal spells, Krim, and the cub comes down. The game is over.
Hey, oh.
The game is over.
Demon's not all removal spells, okay? My favorite thing at these events, I just need to say, is that because it's like I play this cinema game where my handle is an MCU fan. At Magic events, I need to be wearing a full Marvel setup. Like, I need to just be full Marvel fanboy. And then there's nothing better than playing Superior Spider-Man.
Oh, you get to play with the real card, not the...
Yeah, I don't have to look at...
Caballero.
Whatever. What is this guy? I don't know.
I keep calling him Kaito, but he's not Kaito. What's
Caballero? Caballero, I think, is the reversion.
Caballero. Yeah.
Something like that.
I
guess I would feel
Spider-Man.
Better if it was Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's so much sicker.
Someone played Superior Spider-Man on Kai. I was watching the RC this weekend, and someone played Superior Spider-Man. I was like, what card is that? I was like, oh, right. It's that arena card. Yeah.
What about a Hydro Man, a.k.a. Bellion the Parched or something like that on arena?
Oh, speaking, though, of four-color control, before we move on to the other formats, Krim, Tablet of Discovery is kind of the truth, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've been playing a lot of Tablet. It's funny because I was very high on Resonating Loot, and I still think Resonating Loot's a very good card. But it turns out, in the context of control and standard, Tablet of Discovery basically does what Loot does, but draws you a card, too. Like, because all you care about is ramping into your big, you know, finishers, your big Jeskai revelations and stuff. And it doesn't make as much mana, but it's just a straight-up replace Resonating Loot. All the control decks are playing four tablets. Have you played with Tablet much yet, Krim? Like, what's your impression of Tablet?
Now Tablet fills in the curve that I like, right? Remember how we talked about this before? Loot comes down at four, kind of does nothing. That's a crucial turn. Now, of course, Tablet comes down and gives you two mana to immediately use for removal, right? So I'm a big fan of that. over like, you know, Loot, who comes down and kind of just does nothing. So, like, I don't even care that it draws a card or whatever. I just care that I can use the tablet immediately. And then it just makes that Jeskai revelation into a turn 5 revelation. Comes down at 3, by the way, which is all the difference between 3 and 4. So,
yeah. No, very, very, very good card. Anyway, let's move on. So that's standard. No changes yet, although we still have our big shakeup banning coming, I think, in June or something. So we'll have to see. Maybe we'll still get, like, a pseudo-rotation banning. I'm hoping. Just to shake it up a little, Wizard. Shake it up. Just change things up a bit. But anyway, Pioneer. This one caught me by surprise. So Cory Steelcutter banned. Cory Steelcutter is a messed up card. It should have been banned in Pioneer, I think, like, 6 months ago. Because I definitely remember looking at the Pioneer metagame page and seeing Cutter be, like, 40%. Like, it was the dominant force in the meta. Like last summer, early last fall. Now, though, if you look at the Pioneer metagame page, it's really Badger Mole Cup. The number one deck is Golgari Midrange at 25% of the meta, then Selesnya Company with Badger Mole, 15% of the meta. So a huge percentage of the meta is some sort of green-based Badger Mole. You still have Is It Prowess at 7.6%. Is It Phoenix Place Cutter at 3%. What do you think of this banning? On one hand, Cory Steelcutter going, I'm never going to complain about that. On the other hand, the timing is a little weird to me. It seems like the kind of banning you would have done when it was 40% of the meta, not like 10% of the meta. But what do you think of Cory Steelcutter going in Pioneer?
I'm going to be real with you. I kind of forgot that it wasn't banned.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you kind of forgot that Pioneer existed.
I forgot Pioneer existed, and I assume that with it existing, why the hell is Cory Steelcutter not banned?
Yeah, that card's disgusting. Any thoughts, Richard?
Every time a standard card is banned, I just assume it's banned in Pioneer. Yeah. Because, like, yep. Pioneer is just mid-range fest, or is that true? I don't know, but it looks like it's mid-range fest.
And it is now.
Anything that's too good for standard is usually too good for, like, mid-range fest, you know, format as well. So most of the time, I assume both are banned. So I was kind of shocked that this wasn't banned. But I don't know what's up with, like, Pioneer's kind of dead format, man. Like, I don't know what like, I thought the arena move to Pioneer and everything, it was supposed to save it, but, like, I don't know what's going on with this. Like, it's too standardy. Is that why? It's, like, basically just standard, so, like, why bother playing this? Or I don't know. Especially people complain about Historic and Timeless.
It's like, yeah. So, I mean, it's not being supported as far as tournament play. So you don't get the seasons and that interest. So that's part of it, I think. It is kind of like the worst hits of standard in some ways, like the really busted cards from standard that finally rotated after 3 years. And you're like, oh, I get a break from that. They usually just go and are really good in Pioneer. So that's also kind of a little annoying. And then standard has gotten so big and the power level's gotten so high that it actually feels very similar as far as, like, the power levels of the format. So it's not as distinct as it used to be. So I think those would be the three big things that I noticed about Pioneer. But, I mean, I'm glad it's gone. Like, Cory Steelcutter is a card they just shouldn't have made. So I think it improves Pioneer. Does it save Pioneer, make it more popular? Probably not, but it probably was a good card to ban. Let's cruise through Legacy, Pauper, Alchemy, and then we'll end on Modern, because that's the one I want to talk about most. So any thoughts on Undercity Informer being banned in Legacy? Bonder's Ornament unbanned in Pauper, or Surveillance Cam being banned in Alchemy? Apparently, I don't play Alchemy, Richard. I know you play Alchemy a little. Someone told me the problem was they rebalanced Vivi to make it a tap ability, and Surveillance Cam untaps Vivi, so they had to ban it because they somehow kind of oddly tried to rebalance Vivi, but it actually was better in some ways with Surveillance Cam.
We're 1 week too early, Seth. The new Secrets of Strixhaven Alchemy set comes out this week. That's when I start my alchemy play.
Oh, no, that's alchemy.
So I don't know anything about the meta.
Are you still playing alchemy?
I will draft alchemy.
Richard's a believer.
And then I will probably play, like, okay, well, anything's got to be better than standard, right? So I'm going to go get alchemy a shot.
No, it's not.
Look, the drafts, like, are cool.
The drafts will be super amazing because, like, 80% of the time will just be, like, regular Secrets of Strixhaven draft, and then you get this bonus sheet card that's this weird alchemy thing you get to play with. But here's the thing with alchemy, guys. You play it for a week, you play with all these broken cards, it's probably not balanced, but it's, like, a hoot compared to standard. Like, standard, I know what I'm going to play, right? It's going to be Badger Mole Cup, it's going to be Is It, right? So if I just play it for a couple weeks and then just toss it aside. Don't tie my identity to it. It's actually great. Like, so I will report back to you guys. Let's see if I can get a match. I know Q times are kind of rough in alchemy.
Maybe this banning will save it, Richard. Maybe they were just waiting for surveillance cam to get banned. Also, if
you guys want to cheese the rankings, you know, like if you get top 1200 or top 250 in ladder, you get like invites to the special arena events, right? You do alchemy ladder. Like the competition is like so soft, you get super high and you park there. Like every time I've gotten those rewards, it's because I've been playing alchemy. So you can cheese your way up there too.
Do you think, you made me think of this, do you think pick two draft works the same way? Because I feel like when I play a lot of pick two draft, I end up ranked really high mythic. And when I play a lot of premier draft, I don't end up as high mythic. Like, do you think that pick two is like another cheat code for getting a high rank on arena?
Bro, my win rate is like 70%. I made money going to Mythic playing only pick two. So I think so. Unless I just woke up and got the magic buff.
That's what I was wondering. Maybe I'm really good at draft now.
I'm convinced I'm just better, but
yeah,
it's probably pick two is softer because all the real drafters will be like, oh, you know, I need premier draft, right? And we do that. Premier draft is actually harder than traditional draft, even though traditional draft is like the highest skill ceiling. No one plays it though, right? Yeah. So that is softer. Quick draft is softer because of the bots doing. So I would not be surprised if pick two was softer.
Undercity Informer. So I have seen a lot of Legacy people complaining about Oopsal spells. It wins really quick. Become one of the better
decks. Did it get
better? It just folded
into a Force of Will or Daze back in the day, and it was like your budget start to Legacy. Did something happen to make it a legit deck?
No. I don't think so. But it has, like, I'm looking at the deck list and I don't see anything.
Does it look the same?
It's like, it looks pretty much the same. I mean, you get a Jack-O-Lantern now. Maybe that's it. It's another cycle.
No one plays Force of Will anymore? I'm confused.
But it has been a top tier deck, and it was at one point, like, the best deck in the meta. So Legacy players seem happy that it's gone. So I don't play enough Legacy to really have a big opinion, but it seems like a good banning. The Legacy players are hyped about it, at least. And then Bonder's Ornament, I got no idea what's going on. I didn't know that was a card. I didn't know it was banned in Pauper, and now it's unbanned in Pauper, so the cycle's complete. But Modern, I'm very interested in. So Modern,
okay,
we got two bannings, Flage and Lotus Field. So Richard, these cards, what are they targeting? Do you have the Flage and Lotus Field? Like, why are they banned?
Well, that I don't know, but Flage is a great card if you're playing an aggro deck, because they just flage you. They flage you some more, and then they use Arena of Glory to flage you again, like at hasty speed. So yeah, that combination of flage plus Arena of Glory was a big deal. But I don't know what they're doing, because they unbanned Jitte in the same breath. So I'm like, I don't know. We were like, oh, we need some creature-based aggro or something. I don't know, right? So flage is gone. Lotus Field. What is the current Lotus Field unfair deck set?
Lotus Field, okay. So over the last year or so, my favorite archetype, Amulet Titan, has kind of evolved a little bit. And it evolved into this Aftermath Analyst Lotus Field land sack loop deck that kind of wins the way Nadu used to win, where you can loop your lands infinitely and like bounce everything with a Tuara, blow up everything with Besage You. So it's turned into this very long, convoluted thing. So the idea of this banning, from what I understand, is they don't want to kill Amulet Titan. They still want the deck to exist.
Why not?
Yeah, I know. That was my take. I hate that deck. But Yeah, that is true. But this would cut the land loop win condition out of the deck and hopefully power it down a little bit while still leaving the Amulet Titan part of the deck intact. So I think that's the logic of it. Flage is the most played creature in Modern, by the way. 32% of decks are playing Flage. About half of those is the Boros Energy deck, which is the number one deck in the meta. That's a Flage deck. But it also shows up in essentially any like aggro / creature deck, domain, anything that's a creature deck in its colors is going to play Flage. And one of the interesting things that Wizards mentioned, I'm curious if you think this works. They mentioned that a few months ago, or maybe a year ago, we were seeing some diversity with the energy archetype. It was splashing into third colors, and like, they liked that. It felt a little bit more diverse. But then as people realized how busted Flage was, they just kept playing more and more Arena of Glories. And to play Arena of Glory, you can't really splash colors or it gets too clunky. So it kind of forced Boros energy into this very narrow Boros plan to maximize the power of Flage. And they're hoping that getting rid of Flage, yeah, powers down energy a little bit. I don't think it kills the deck, but maybe it'll let you be Mardu energy again, which we saw a little bit with C'Thunian Nightmare in the past or something. So I think that's what they're hoping happens. I remember when we first did a podcast about Flage, we kind of trashed that card. I think, if I remember it, I think I said it's good, but I'm pretty sure that, like, the overall mood was this card was not very good in Modern, and here we are, but three years later, I need to hear that back,
because I do not remember. I remember Richard didn't like it. Maybe. I can see me liking it only because I see Uro, I'm immediately, like, concerned. Yeah. So,
but I think it's Arena of Glory. Like, they need to hit the land gives you haste card, right? Like, I think if you remove that, I think Flage play rate goes all the way down. Like, Boros energy, like, you know, a Boros deck makes sense, right? But, like, basically every creature deck is playing it because why not, right? It's like I win the game button with the Arena of Glory. And Arena of Glory is, like, so free to play. So I think they should hit the other one, because I am sure soon enough we'll have another Arena of Glory combo that gets us all, right? And then we're going to do something again.
So Wizards addressed this in the banlist update, and they said that they believe Arena of Glory has aspirational synergies. Like, you can combo it with Quantum Riddler to give your Quantum Riddler haste, and they didn't want to take those synergies out of the format, so that led to them getting rid of Phage instead of getting rid of Arena of Glory. I don't know if I agree with that, but that was the logic of it. Yeah, Phage is banned in Modern.
Phage ate it. That's it. Phage is too good.
All right. I mean, this is all defensible, like, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need Cascade, boys. Instant speed Cascade. Violent Outburst back on the table. Like,
that was only banned 2 years ago. It was only 2024 that they banned Violent Outburst, because Instant Speed Cascade was so broken with Rhinos, was so broken with Living End. I guess the thought is the meta is different enough now, and we did get Modern Horizons 3. It did shake. This was banned, like, at the end of the Modern Horizons 2 meta, I believe, right before Modern Horizons 3. So maybe the meta is different enough now. It's kind of funny. They said, Living End has made a resurgence lately, and players seem to like it. So we're like, maybe we should give them some new toys. So we unbanned Violent Outburst.
Who likes Living End?
I don't know. I didn't know that was an archetype that players
this
really
is
loved.
So toxic. Like, first of all, Living End, if you just get Living Ended at sorcery speed, it's BS, okay? Like, yes, right? But now, we forget the good old end of turn, you know, Violent Outburst, untap Violent Outburst. Like, it is so, you can't deal with this, right? Like, they get to, like, basically turn their combo deck into an instant speed combo deck that's very hard to deal with. And even if they don't win, you can't even attack profitably, right? Like, you attack, you're like, okay, Cascade, two Rhinos, block, okay, cool, untap, you know, like, I don't see why this is good for the format. So either this does literally nothing, like, you know, Cascade is a dead deck, it does nothing, or it's kind of broken, and then we all got to pack our ley lines and, like, you know, all these, like, super narrow hate cards, you know, it's like when they unbanned Golgari Grave Troll. And you're like, but why?
Which time?
Either it does nothing or it breaks everything. And, like, why do you want this? Right? Like, was it fun? Is this engaging gameplay? So I don't get it.
Is that
I'm a Cascade hater, Seth. I hate Cascade so much.
Okay, you hate Cascade, but come on. Amulet runs around in this format and has ran around this format for years. I don't know who at somebody has a soft spot for Amulet, because this deck has somehow persisted through the decades.
Yeah, but that's our only non-Modern Horizons deck.
Can we choose something else to be the beacon of light? All right, please.
Is it possible, Richard, that the Modern meta is just so degenerate now that we end up with Violent Outburst being fair? Like, the extra 2 years worth of cards, Modern Horizons 3... In a world where people are, like, Ruby Storming's a top-tier deck, the new Affinity builds are very fast, maybe Cascading turn 3 is just going to be another good thing you can do rather than a broken thing. The other big power of this card is since you do it at instant speed, it allows you to defend it with force negation, which you can't do with your sorcery speed cascade
effects. Oh, yeah, I
remember
that too.
Which that was another one of the most brutal parts of it is, like, they can back it up with force, and it's just, like, so unfun. So,
okay, so you have to have three answers in hand. You have to hold them up the whole time.
So, I don't know if it leads to fun gameplay. This one actually surprised me. Like, when I do my list of cards I think they should unban, Violent Outburst was never one of the cards that was even close to they should consider unbanning. I just assumed they wouldn't even consider it, but we'll see how it works out. I was skeptical of Mox Opal, and it ended up kind of working out in the end after some more bannings of Underworld Breach and stuff. But in the end, it ended up being a positive, so maybe it'll be a positive. I'm curious about the second unbanning, Umezawa's Jitte. I think that's this card is absolutely stone unplayable. Like, I think it will be in 0% of modern decks. Like, literally 0% of modern decks.
Yo, hold on. Pump the brakes.
Am I wrong?
At least put a little respect on what it once was.
Oh,
right?
When
back
it was. In 2004, the card was so good. Oh, it was so good back in its era.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot imagine a world where in modern in 2026, you can pay 2 mana to play an equipment and then pay 2 more mana to put it on a creature and then attack with that creature and have that work out. Like, I just do not, like, aren't you just dying to Living End and Ruby Storm everything by the time you even get it on a creature?
Where is Hammer Time in all of this? What tier are we in right now? Is Hammer Time even a...
Hammer Time is like tier 3 at this point. Like, it's not like a real deck in modern at the moment. It's like tier 3-ish.
Back to being a pet deck. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's back to against the odds. Yeah.
I mean, okay, the card does suck. Let's not lie here. The card does suck in the current year.
No, okay, look. Boros Energy is the number one deck. Yeah? It's a fair deck. Like, I don't know how it's beating Ruby Storm, Belcher, Goryeo's Vengeance, all this crap. But apparently, it's getting
doing that.
No, but I'm saying it's a fair game, right? So if you match up against it, or you're a similar deck and you have a Jitte, I think you're good to go. I think Stoneforge Mystic Stonk's going wild. So apparently, there's some slot for fair decks. How is Boros Energy getting it done? There's enough stacks pieces or hate pieces to keep the other decks at bay. So you can slot in 4 Stoneforges and 4 Jittes, and not even 1 Jitte, and call it a day.
So, but here, like, don't you just end up time walking yourself if they have removal so much? Like, it's not even the problem. Like, my problem isn't even that I think Umezawa's Jitte itself is bad. I just think, in general, equipment are bad in modern. The ones that work are like one to cast, one to equip.
Creatures
like
are bad
hammer.
In modern,
like,
Seth.
It's just hard for me to imagine. Yeah, if creatures are bad and equipment are bad, and equipment need creatures, it's hard
Look,
for me
if,
to imagine.
If you ever play against a Yawgmoth player, you're eaten. Okay? Like, you know, there are certain decks where it does something. Apparently, those decks are not played at all, though. Like, I'm looking through all the top decks. They're all unfair decks, and God, who plays this format, Seth?
Good question. Good question.
I mean, I think this is the final nail in the coffin for creatures. Like,
yeah.
Imagine they made a real creature that you could actually play. Like, it's a Thalia that prevents people from casting spells with more mana value out of the graveyard and from exile. You still can't play it because, like, you have to play a Jitte with it, right? Like, it has to be a white creature so you can Stoneforge and get Jitte with it. Otherwise, Jitte is going to mow down your thing.
I mean, that's always been the argument against unbanning it, right? Is like,
yes.
So the problem with Umezawa's Jitte is when it does do its thing, it can just kind of lock small creature decks out of the game. Essentially, you get it on a creature, you keep getting counters, you just kill anything your opponent does. If they try to block, you pump. Like, in a creature versus creature matchup, it is insane. Like, it is very, very good at what it does. I just don't think that's what Modern's about. Like, even the Stoneforge decks, would I put a copy of this in Hammer Time? Maybe in the sideboard, maybe, but even then I'm like, am I ever going to
sideboard for what, though?
Over a hammer and just try to kill you? Like, am I really going to try, I'm going to snipe your X1s, I got you. Like, I'm just going to put a hammer on my thing and try to make you die.
It just tells you not to play. Like, imagine if they're like, we're putting Black Lotus into Modern because it's balanced, and you're like, what is this format? Like, how is this okay, right? Like, when they put Jitte in here, you're just declaring that, like, creatures are, like, doo-doo, and I don't know, man. Should we be trying to get creatures back as opposed to the opposite, like, locking them out and sealing them away? Like, remember, we already have, like, Bowmasters type effects that like make small creatures like super sus already, right? So now you have this, you're like,
they should have just unbanned Punishing Fire 2 and just said we're done with creatures in modern.
Okay,
just
okay,
little creatures are done.
Grandpa. That one that one might be too old.
So Krim, is this all just some sort of scam to try to sell Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle packs because they reprinted it as Raph's Jitty in TMNT? Do you think that's the actual reason for this? Is it gameplay or TMNT?
I don't know why they unbanned this. It's definitely not for that. No one's like, you know, waking up and just like soon as that alarm clock hits, ripping their shirt off and running to go get the G-Tank because of this. No one's what? Buying it. It doesn't
That's
matter, turtles or
my
not.
My four Stoneforge mystics.
Oh, time to go get my Stoneforge.
Well, okay, what equipment could they possibly print to make Stoneforge playable?
It has sort to be a stacks piece. Win all my
sort
games.
Of stacks and land destruction.
Yeah, yeah. Like yeah. It needs to be very strong, dude. I mean, I myself don't play enough modern anymore, which is so heartbreaking for me to say. But like, I don't know. I look at Boros and it looks really fair.
Yeah, it looks right? So fair, right? So surely GTA has a home somewhere in this format. Look how fair that pile is, and it could get wins. I still don't understand
like,
how.
It being so fair, the last thing I imagine is somehow they must be beating other Boros mirrors, right? That must be like what's going on here, because I don't understand how it's so fair and able to win. Other than like maybe there's some good hate cards like High Noon and things like that.
That's like a like one of or something. They barely play this.
They don't even play in the main, really. Like they don't really.
Yeah,
have
they don't even play in the main
for
okay,
the most
great.
Part. Like there's a little removal, some Goblin Bombarders, maybe one Blood Moon in the main at most, and then a bunch of creatures from Modern Horizons 3.
Is this the Jund Lai? Like though, you know, back when I was playing Modern, you know, like everyone's like, oh dude, I always play Jund, and you know, like I have a killer matchup against this, this, and this, and
It feels like Jund. I think
it feels like Jund due to deserve this.
I think well, the actual
Jund was so fair, right? And like, you look back to it, it's like, brother, you were just hitting me with like some random removals. You were playing Maelstrom Pulse. That's an answer.
I think it just gets to play the most Modern Horizons 3 cards, and those are the most busted cards, and Energy gets to play the most of them in one shell. Because like a lot of like when we talk about fair, we're talking about like Ocelot Prides, Raghavan, Johnny Nakato Praia, like, yeah, they're fair in the sense that they're not comboing off, but these are some really strong, just like standalone cards. You just play S tier threat every single turn until your opponent can't do anything or combo kills you. Anyway,
I guess.
What do you think? Last question about the ban list update before we move on. Does banning Flage, do you think that makes Energy significantly worse? Like, is this a banning targeted at a specific deck to power down Energy? Or is this just removing a card that saw play in a whole bunch of different decks and was just too good for the format? Like, do you think we're going to see, because right now Energy is the most played deck, 17, almost 18% of the meta. Next up is Affinity at 10%. Do you think we're going to see Energy's play rate drop because of this ban list update? Or do you think it just keeps on trucking without Flage?
I don't know if it's going to drop a ton, but I do think Flage is very good in this deck.
It is very good.
Right? Like, Flage is like the card, right? When you're playing and you're mentally preparing for how to play this matchup, one of those things is you're accounting for Flage. So I think it will weaken the deck a significant amount, but I don't know if there's something new that could just like emerge as a better Flage. Who knows, right? Do they add a color? Who knows? I right now think that as it currently stands in the iterations I'm seeing of Boros, Flage is one of the better cards, and if not the strongest cards.
I think that's probably true. What do you think, Richard? Is the reign of Energy done?
This ban list is brought to you by Big Combo. Like, clearly someone here wants, like, only combo decks. Like, it's a fair deck. And I think it actually kills it. It will change. It will knock it off its dominant position. I think Flage is super important to this deck. But then again, I know nothing about this form. I don't know how this deck wins even with the Flage. But, like, clearly that Flage will let you win at least 1 to 2 turn earlier. Right. And that's probably very good against the combo decks that are running around the format. Right. So being a turn or two slower and just in general weaker against like the other decks, like it's got to be a big hit. Right. And with the unbanning of like Jite plus the Cascade card, like someone just wants a combo format for like TikTok clips. Like I don't know, man.
Maybe that's why they unbanned Violent Outburst, Richard, so you could Cascade into your Jite. That the combo. They unbanned the whole combo, yeah.
Oh, I can't believe. Okay, if Jite sucks, what do we do, Seth? I think that's like the last of the old guard.
It does.
Yeah. Jace the Mind Sculptor sucks.
Yeah.
You're like, Jite, clearly it was a mistake. And, you know, if that sucks, like, what are we even doing anymore?
I think that's why I think Jite is going to suck, is because when they unbanned Jace, I was so worried because it's just such an iconic card. It was so good in its era. And then it flopped so hard once it was unbanned. So this time I'm not even getting my hopes up. I'm just going into this expecting Jite to do nothing. And if it does anything, then that's a bonus. That's a win.
This is one of those things where I wish my goats and my legends, they'd let it ride into the sunset and let them stay banned. And it's like, you know, when a star athlete returns to try one more year and has the worst year of their life.
Philip Rivers has had a good track record, right? Jace unbanned, Stoneforge unbanned, Stoneforge Blossom unbanned, Twin unbanned. The only real like snafu was like Golgari Grave Troll. Right,
yeah.
That's the only one we're like, right? But oh my god, all the classics, complete trash now.
That's because they just power crept everything so hard that they can unban all these cards and they're fine because the format's so powerful.
You're probably right, four mana to do it and just to get blown out.
Yeah,
it's like unplayable, right? Oh.
I mean, we'll see. I hope it's playable because it is very iconic and nostalgic. But I would be very, very surprised. So anyway, that's a ban list. Let us know what you think about no standard changes. What about modern? All the other formats. Let us know what you think in the comments. Anyway, I want to ask you guys this tournament question. We're going to get sweaty for a minute. So I was watching the regional championship this weekend. They were getting into the last rounds of the Swiss, going into the top eight. And, you know, every tournament, you're going to have people ID, right? So if you get, you know, up to the top eight and you're doing well, you just want to take a draw to guarantee you're in. You don't risk anything. So, of course, people are going to intentionally draw to get into the top eight. But with the new system, the top 32 get Pro Tour invites. So they were talking about going to the last round, and they're like, oh, seven tables in the like high 20s and 30s intentionally drew to lock in their Pro Tour invites. And I was like, man, you know what? Intentional draws kind of suck. Like, I don't think we should have intentional draws. Like, this is getting out of hand, right? You don't even have people IDing into the top eight. They're IDing into the top 32 because of the incentive structure. So I posted something on the internet. It's about how IDs kind of suck and we should get rid of them. And I was surprised that was actually a somewhat controversial take. Some people really like their intentional draws. So I want to ask you guys, what do you think about intentional draws? Am I off base in thinking that like intentional draws at best are like a necessary evil and very awkward, and at worst just like horrible for the game and just a bad look for your competition in general? What do you guys think about intentionally drawing to lock in your top eight, top 32 slots?
I mean, I've always kind of hated those.
And I should clarify very quickly and say, this is not about anyone who IDs. Like, this is how the system is. So if you ID'd in your tournament, like, you're doing what the system incentivizes. So it's not about that. This is more about the structure of tournaments than any individual ID. But you've always hated them too, Krim?
I've hated them, and I've done them, right? Like, I'm like, I get it, right? Like, it's just like, it's kind of lackluster, and I don't know. I guess my problem with IDs is it kind of just makes, like, playing kind of weird, right? Like, in the final round, you have to have the awkward conversation, and I also didn't like that. So I always just sat down, and there's many a times where this has gone wrong for me, and I've been on the losing end of it, but I'm like, I'm just going to shortcut this. More often than not, I think at some point, I stopped doing IDs, and I just started making people play it out. Because I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to do math. Because
you can't really do that. You get blackblisted, Krim.
I don't care.
You gotta be part of the club.
I love Marvel unhealthily. I don't care how much I get blacklisted. Are you kidding me? I'm all about it. Let's go.
Where are you at, Richard, with IDs?
I think it's stupid. I think Tournament Magic, the way it's structured, is incredibly stupid. But you have to do it, right? So I think My rational response to this is you cannot just declare IDs illegal, right? Like, you can't just be like, well, we catch you IDing, we ban you or something like that, right? Because then People will then start playing fake games. Wink, wink, let's go get a smoke break. And then, oh, did you miss five land trials? You know, like, it's just a waste of everyone's time. What you need to do is to ensure in the tournament structure that it is never correct to ID. And then no one will ID, right? And then it's like actually fixed the right way, right? You don't want more back table deals happening outside the tournament venue because of your weird enforcement.
Yes.
But the idea that you sit down and like you negotiate something and don't play it out should be banned, right? Yeah. Like we should get that out of the system. Same with like prize splitting, stuff like that, right? Like, you know, oh, you know, let's split first and second or something, right? Like they should make the tournament structure such that you never feel like you need to do this, right? One Piece kind of does it sometimes. So like you win based on Swiss record for the smaller tournaments or the Grand Prix style tournaments. It never behooves you to ID in this case, right? But there are cases where you might need to like qualify for Nats or something, right? And then you're both out of the running for top eight or something. There are cases where you could ask someone to scoop to you because it's meaningless for them, but good for you, right? So it's not ideal still, but some kind of like, I don't know, Swiss structure, like a more heavy reward for coming in higher ranking into the top eight. I don't know what it would be. Play less Magic. Right? I know a lot of times I'm like, I don't want to play any more Magic, guys. I played like 10 rounds. Just give me, I'm on, just like draw, go home. Right? Get ready for day two. Right? So like the part of that is just because like, why are we playing 16 rounds to determine a winner? Like, did we need 16 best of threes to do this? Right? So I think Magic does a very poor job of like, this whole tournament structure and all of this. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. It looks terrible. It looks terrible to have everyone IDing in the last round. And then now you're IDing for top 32. It's a bad look.
And maybe we just don't care about people watching Magic at this point. Maybe we've just given up on, like, tournament streams and all that stuff. But I don't know how I would explain the Magic system to someone that doesn't know Magic. Like, it just seems wrong on its face. Could you imagine in football or basketball or something if like two teams are locked into the playoffs and they're like, oh, we're just not going to play and go to the beach this weekend? Like,
it happens in football.
We have that already.
They rest their starters, but they still play the game.
That's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
I don't think it's the same thing. You think it's the same
thing? It totally is.
It is, but it happens less frequently, right? And then you're like, oh, they're just deserving. They're just deserving. And the way they set up the schedules, it's like some like garbage match that usually doesn't matter. But it's kind of the same thing, right? When you pull your starters or rest your starters because you're like 15-0 and locked it up, right? And then people get extremely mad if you're trying to like go for 16-0 when you rest your starters or what, you know, whatever, right? 17-0 with current day. But it's kind of the same thing, but it happens way less in football, right? Because your seeding and everything like actually matters. I don't know. What if we just don't top eight? What if we just go Swiss?
Oh, Swiss right? All the way. Swiss all the way.
Swiss all the way.
What about just having draws count as 0 points? Like, would that just solve it? Like, if you take a draw, no one's getting any points. It's like a double loss, essentially, if you draw.
That would incentivize
winning the match instead of whatever, trying to,
Does
you
that
know,
fix
win
everything?
By time.
Would we just say all draws are 0 points?
I think it's better than having draws exist the way they are now. Because
I think
then
that fixes
draws
it,
essentially
right?
become bad,
no
right?
Way.
Like they're very bad.
And if you're too slow to finish your match, or your opponent is well, I guess you can opponent can slow play to force a draw.
And force
but they're
you
not,
to get
they're,
zero
they're
points.
Less incensed. Now they're just like they're just like being like, you know, aggressive towards you,
kind
right?
Of
like,
vindictive
like
or something.
There are ways to like get the point draw for your advantage, but in this case, there is none, right? So I think maybe that's the way. Just draws are zero. No more draws. You play slow. That's your fault.
Yeah,
it could be worth
genuinely
trying.
Yeah.
It might be worth trying. Well, at least I'm glad that someone agrees with me. I feel like a lot of the people who are pro intentional draws were people who win a lot of tournaments, and they're like, dude, if I, like, have a good record, I deserve to get a couple rounds off. And I'm like, I guess I may, if I was you, I would probably feel exactly the same way. If I was 14-0 in my GP, I'd want a couple rounds off, too. But I just think it's
that
so
just
bad
seems
from
make
a viewer's
shorter,
perspective.
Right? Like, you came to a Magic tournament, and your biggest goal is to get out of playing Magic. You're like, what? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like something is like not correct here, right? Like, I'm not blaming the players, right? The way it's set up.
Right.
You want to do that, right? But the structure needs to be changed. I think Magic tournaments are way too long. Like, I look at a One Piece tournament, okay? You're like, 10 rounds, best of one. That's 10 games. Okay? I look at the winning records at Magic. They're like 12-4, best of threes. And you're like, this guy just played like a year's worth of Magic in a weekend. Like, who wants to do this, right? Like, did we need to play so many games of Magic the Gathering? And it's not like the best players bubble to the top anyway, right? Like, it's still like a variance crapshoot anyway. So, like, just play less games, right? Have more tournaments, play less games, have everyone be fresh, right? Like, tournament Magic is a real thing. Like, you need to be able to play solid in hour 8 of your event, right? Like, why? Right? Just make everything shorter so people aren't trying to get a buy to go eat lunch, you know? Like, it's people trying to get home at a sane hour, right? Like, just shorten everything too.
What would a good number of rounds be? Like, what would, like, right now we're doing what, 15, 16 rounds? Like, what would the proper number be for something like a whatever, pro tour, regionals or something?
8 rounds Swiss.
Go to the top 8.
Go top 8. I don't know. Swiss.
I don't know that, would be, yet.
Isn't that what we used to have with the SCG tours when they do like a Saturday and Sunday event? Weren't they like 8-ish rounds into a top 8 or something? And they do the whole like Legacy in one day and the whole Modern the next day or whatever. Like, I feel like we've had tournaments that are that structure before.
I think we've definitely had that as well. I'm trying to remember. It's been a while since West Coast got SCG stuff, right? Because at some point they stopped doing it.
SCG out there. Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember they used to do it, so.
But what do you think, Grim? Are tournaments too long currently? Like, do you play more tournaments than me or Richard? Do you feel like they go too long when you go to a tournament? Are you thinking, man, I wish it was less rounds, or do you think they're good as they are?
I only realize how long they are when I'm done, but when I'm in it, it's just like, you know,
just
it kind of, you're super locked in. And my problem, well, like in Riftbound right now, if you went to an RQ, did you know like an X2? After, like, I think 13 or 14 rounds, doesn't even get you in top 8.
Wow. That's
so you
insane.
Keep, like you,
it's
like,
14
right
rounds?
Now.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, I think, like, even recently, actually, Ali Eldrazi got, like, I think he was like 14-2 or 13-2 and just got 13th. So, like, I don't know. Okay, so, like, could by extending that, like the number of rounds played, does that help that? That's why I liked when GPs were 2 days, because you had a killer day one, you day two'd, and then like, or oh wait, hear me out. Or you do the worst thing ever, and day two is single elim. No. That's too.
Ooh, I
think
get
rid of day
two. Elim.
Day two is the worst logistical construct they've created. It's like, if a tournament is on one day, I can book a flight in the morning, book a flight going home, right? And then, but like, oh, what if I do well? I stay a second day, right? And it makes your scrub out way worse because you're like, oh, now I have an extra day at the con for like no reason, right? Like, why do we need these events to be so long? Just one day, crown a winner at the end, call it a day, right? Like, why do we need so many? And it's like, it's a card game. There's so much variance anyway. Are we really solving anything? It's not like at the end of the day, after 15 rounds, like, you know, John Finkel wins every time because he's the best Magic player in the world, right? That's not what happens, right? It's still just luck and variance and matchups and like stuff like that. So let's just do it in 8 rounds and call it a day.
I don't know. That might. I'm actually on the fence.
I'm like, actually surprised Riftbound went the Magic way, because like One Piece is legit like 10 rounds, best of one. Call it a day, right? And it's just like 8 rounds. Like, it's not even 10 rounds all the time, right? Whereas Riftbound, 14 rounds, best of three, that's Magic. That's like a complete Magic structure, right?
Wait, did you say, Richard, in One Piece that it's just the winner is whoever has the best Swiss ranking then? There's no top 8 at all. It's just at the
you
end of however many rounds.
Play until there's no more undefeated player. So sometimes, like, some of the events have a top cut, right? But a lot of the events are just best of one. Swiss, you play until there's no undefeated left, and that number of rounds is variable depending on like how many draws and like what the breakpoints are. But you know, you wake up in the morning, you play, and you know you're done, right? Like, it's super easy. There's no reason to draw. You are super incentivized to get your game done. There's none of, it's best of one, so there's no, like, 1-0 draw, win the match type thing, right? You're like, oh, you gotta play fast. We're not gonna, you know, we're not gonna win. No one's gonna win in time, and then we're just gonna get knocked out of, you know, the race with our draw. So I actually like the way One Piece is, but again, I'm old and casual now, okay? I don't want to travel for my event, right? I don't want to go stay in a hotel, play, you know, whatever, right? I think just one day of tournament magic, and at the end of that, crown a winner, call it a day. I think that solves a lot of problems. And I don't know, man, tournament magic kind of sucking right now. I don't see how this could be worse. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like we're booming right now, and we're like, oh, we make this change. Like, we're going to just throw everything off, right? Yeah, yeah. We're like, no one plays tournament magic. No one wants to fly out, right? You know, so like,
it's the pricing and the choices of like promos. Like, there's,
oh my God, pricing.
Yeah.
Oh, can we, are we gonna just rant about tournament magic all day? Wizards has an infinite money machine in their hands that they do not use. And every card game is liberally using it. Okay.
Yep.
They're like, here's your prize card, trash unplayable card with trash treatment and art. Here you go. Right. If they just did a secret layer version. Right? Think any secret layer they released, okay? And then just only give it to the winner. Put a stamp on it, serialize it. Instantly, your prize pool for Magic becomes like 100K for the winner, you know, 50K for the winner. Like, instantly, everyone would go on to play this. But no, they're like, oh, we gotta sell it as a secret layer, you know? We gotta save. It's not even that expensive. Like, how much do you think it is to commission, like, one secret layer card?
Oh,
it's not even that expensive.
Nothing.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They can, like, One Piece cards are crazy. It's like 10K, you know, 50K, 100K, right? And it's just like Bandai printing it out of nowhere, right? Riftbound cards just printing, materialized out of nowhere. Wizards is like, nah, we can't do that. We gotta give you, you know, scuffed standard card that never panned out as your promo. Here you go. And it's not even like a real art.
It's gonna make it, Richard. It's gonna make it. Give it time. Laughing Jasper Flint. It's coming. It's
like,
coming.
Like the Tifa.
We're
the
waiting.
Tifa
it's
promo?
Gonna pop off.
Remember Tifa and,
oh,
and
Tifa,
Aerith?
Yeah.
And Aerith, like,
yeah.
You would have thought they learned something from that, but no, they learned nothing from this. They learned nothing from this.
His swings are crazy. Store Champs promos, I think, are better than, like, the actual tournament promos.
Yeah. It is so crazy they don't do that. It seems, like, so obvious. And, like, what is the... Is it just, like, they don't want to give up some small percentage of money that they could make if they sold the card as a secret lair? Is it as simple? Like, because it just seems so obvious to me. You could jump the numbers up on tournaments as far as prize support so much with minimal cost to Wizards. It seems like so easy and so straightforward, but they don't do it.
Do you know what the metric in One Piece for how good you are is? It's not top eights, like we say in Magic. It's not even wins. It's number of serialized cards.
Ah,
yes.
Serialized.
It's number of serialized cards. Right? And you're just like, whoa, here's my 20 serialized card. You're like, this guy's making bank, right? And like, they give out all kinds of special, like, they give out, like, special Dawn cards to the winners. And like, these things don't even have prices. They're like so, like, crazy, right? You give out, like, special, you know, one basic. You can only win this at MagicCon Vegas. That's it, right? They cost, like, nothing for Wizards, and it would instantly elevate the prestige of the game. I don't know why they don't do it. It's only a couple thousand dollars to make this card.
Yeah,
like, I
not
can make
expensive.
It I'll print it at home on my printer. Yeah. Right? Geez, come on.
And then they just, like, serialize the top eight or something, so there's only eight in existence or whatever, and they're worth tons of money. Like, it's so easy. But yeah, Wizards, I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know why they don't do it. You got any ideas, Krim, why we don't do this system? Yeah.
No, it's very easy, right? Like, you could just get any promo that is in Laughing Jasper Flint, and then you could even stamp just, like, winner or the event you won, like, anything like that at all, and it just makes it that much cooler.
The name of the LGS you played at.
Okay, almost every stamp is cooler. Like, oh, come on, man.
I mean, they could probably fund the Pro Tour for, like, a few years just by doing that with, like, fetch lands or something. If you did one fetch land per Pro Tour, serialize the top eight, handed them out to whatever, the top whoever, however you want to do it, I think you could increase the prize support so much that it would actually just fund the Pro Tour. But Wizards, if you're listening, Just do it. It's so easy. Just make better promos and hand them out. Like, oh, I don't know why they don't. Anyway, I think that's all our podcast for today. Anything else anyone wants to mention on the way out the door that we can get to? All right. So that's our podcast for today. We'll be back next week to do it all again. Richard Krim, thanks for hanging out. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to our sponsors for supporting the show. And we'll be back next week to talk about whatever goes on in the world of magic. So until then, have an amazing week, everyone. And this is the crew signing out.